If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Unification is Our Role, Personally and Globally. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath. And let's call ourselves forward into that divine line of authority through which we come forward and do God's work in this world. Take another deep breath with great intention and integrate those higher levels of your being. Deep breath. Integrate and align. Integrate and align. Integrate and align. And I expect that each of you has called yourself forward before we went on the air. It's important that you take responsibility for your own life stream and what you participate in and with. You always ask for the light for the highest good, so that whatever you hear enters you at your point where you need to be receiving according to your highest rate and highest good. And that way you can filter the energies that come into your personal consciousness. And you know that you have the Holy Spirit then with you. So that's your role, your duty. Make sure that you're clear and aligned, or as sometimes people say, all prayed up, whatever works for you. So unification is our role, personally and globally. We import those higher energies in, and we escort those lesser energies out. So this world that we see when we open our eyes and watch the television or whatever is a world of effects and consequences. It's not a world of causes, and it's not a level where solutions can be found. So nothing is created here alone, but only by joining with a higher energy source. So when you try to find a horizontal solution alone that only has a vertical answer, then you have a problem. You have frustration because you're looking to find answers where they can't be found. So it's important to use levels for what they're designed for. And this is a level designed to manifest the level just above it. This realm that we call the third dimensional Earth, physical Earth, is merely a reflection in time-space of that level which is above. So it is up to us to import in the energies and what we would like to see manifest here, and to facilitate the escorting out of those obsolete energies that no longer serve our highest good, whether that's personal or collective. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let's just start with a mantra of unification. This could be our rallying call, this could be our prayer, this could be the momentum of the new group of world servers in which we find ourselves as light workers. I'm going to say it slowly, line per line, so that you can repeat it with me if you like. I will pause after each line. Again, this is the mantram of unification. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events. And bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. And let's sound the Om three times, one out loud, one whispered, and one silent. Ready? When you say a mantra out loud, it affects the physical. When you whisper it, it affects the subtle. And when you do it silently, it affects the mind. So, we are here to unify the pairs of opposites within ourselves, within the group in which we find ourselves, and thus manifest unity in the world as unity in diversity. So first off, probably you're wondering, what are the pairs of opposites within ourselves? Well, for a beginner, we're to unify the personal self with the impersonal self. We're to unify the personality with the function and objectives of the soul. We are to unify and reconcile the lower self to the higher self. And then you have, you know, all of the pairs of opposites that each one of you individual in your individual lives confront each day. We each have our particular arena where we're learning to find that middle path that the Buddha spoke of. We're learning to find that path of soul awareness and thus divine impersonal neutrality. Not that we don't act purposefully and on purpose, so to speak, but we don't get drawn too far one way or the other, we hold the even keel. And that's what we're looking at here. It's not to be polarized one way or the other, but to walk in between as the soul, as one that is aware, uses everything appropriately, and maintains that divine center calmly and with great steadfastness. So, I think it's important to realize that each planet is a school. Each planet is a school of consciousness. You might find that a very new and novel thought. But nevertheless, it is true. And the Earth is a particularly interesting planet because, as far as I can tell, it's the only planet in our solar system that offers the tremendous diversity of people and races and colors and cultures. My goodness, we are a rich mix. And we are the product of so many extraterrestrial seed programs that incarnated at different times on the planet and gave their little tweak to the human experiment. So first off, Earth is a biological testing zone. And there was an experiment that was started by the planetary logo Sanat Kumara in Atlantean times, during the Atlantean cycle. And it was to hasten unfoldment of consciousness through initiations. And we won't go into that in detail tonight. You can do your own research on that if you wish. But bear in mind that this hastening of the unfoldment of consciousness is an experiment, which we understand now has been successful and is somewhat unique because it involves the David kingdom. Well, first of all, it involves all the kingdoms of nature. But in particular, it involves the movement of consciousness from the animal kingdom to the human, which is the bridging kingdom, to the kingdom of souls. And from the kingdom of souls into the kingdom of the divine itself. So we're all somewhere in that process. The planetary school Earth contains the hall of ignorance, which many people who are not awake are part of. The hall of knowledge for the disciples, the aspirants and the disciples. The hall of wisdom for the initiates. And the veil of bliss for the mahatmas and rishis and sages. And we all pass through all of these halls. The Earth itself is called the school of magnetic response. And otherwise, we magnetize, we draw things to ourselves as a school, as an Earth. And, of course, we can draw negativity or positivity. It has to do with what we have deposited in our aura. So we're called the adjudicators between the polar opposites. In other words, we are the choosers, the discerners, the deciders of what we are going to participate in. That's where that degree of free will, which Sai Baba says is about as much as a donkey tied to a tree. But, you know, we all have the ability to decide if we're going to act out of our lesser self or our better self. We all have that ability to choose. Are we going to love or are we going to hate? Are we going to serve or are we going to demand people serve us? Are we going to be selfish or are we going to be selfless? Are we going to give people a piece of our ego, i.e. mind, or the radiation of our heart and goodwill? These are little choices we make every single day. And so we pass through a school of painful endeavor. And when we graduate, we're called graduates of the school of painful endeavor. And the school of difficult endeavor is another term that's used. So we come under the laws of polarity, duality, karma, opposites. And graduates undergo testing upon the third subplane of the astral plane. It's probably not going to mean a whole heck of a lot to a lot of you. And if you want more information about the various planetary schools, you can find that information in the Alice Bailey book dictated by the Tibetan master called Treatise on Cosmic Fire. But save yourself time unless you are an advanced light worker or initiate, because otherwise it's not going to make much sense to you. So, having said that, another part of the wisdom is to begin to kind of see if you can ascertain where your strengths are and where your weaknesses lie, and begin to correct in your daily life those areas that you find are the weakest. You'll know what they are because those are the areas that give you the most trouble and challenge. And those are the levels that you're here to master and bring under your control as living light, as awakened awareness, as the soul occupying a physical vehicle. Now, for anything to manifest upon the earth, it has to be brought down. It has to be precipitated onto the physical plane from a higher level. That's how everything gets down here as a form. It starts with a thought that's met with a feeling and then comes down into the physical. So there has to be a point of entry, a portal, a door, a person who can facilitate and escort that higher thought, that higher feeling, that higher concept, that invention, whatever it is, has to be a way for that to enter into the physical dimension. Well, we could take as an example a scientist that's working on a new invention. How does that new invention make its way into manifestation? Well, first off, there has to be a brilliant and trained and receptive mind to initially receive the idea, and then has to have the ability to take that idea and engineer it into physical form. Now, some people just bring forward the ideas and they don't have any ability to do anything further. And that's where the group working with that particular person comes into play. Because in highest truth, everything that gets manifested on the physical plane is part of a group endeavor. You have the inner plane group that you're connected with, and then you have the people throughout the world that are on the same wavelength, so to speak, that have the same function to fulfill. In this case, we're talking about scientific inventions. But it can apply to any field of endeavor. So the dimension just above the physical is filled with the inventions and new forms that will constitute the golden age, the new era, just waiting for whomever can tap into that and facilitate its entrance into the physical world. And that's where you and me come in. That's what we're here to do. We're to tune in to those higher levels that we're connected with and bring through whatever is there to be manifested. Not always in a form. Sometimes it's a state of consciousness. Sometimes it's an energy. But everything has to be brought in through a physical vehicle in the third dimension, through human hands and feet, so to speak. Now, for the first time in history, humanity itself, as a group, is to serve as the entry point, the transduction device through which global goodwill and right human relations is to be manifested on Earth. Humanity is the center through which the will of God, known as the will to good, will be established. Getting a little esoteric here, this is the first time in history that humanity, I would say the initiates within humanity, are able to bring through directly from Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known and administered, directly into the physical planet. First time. Normally, it goes through what we call the hierarchy, which are the men and women that have perfected themselves in terms of Earth's evolution and stand forward as that group of perfected and perfecting, because there's always more ones. Usually, it's stepped down through them. But today, we, as part of the new group of world servers, as light workers, as initiates and disciples, we are considered to be part of that hierarchy. We are members of that great group. And we're not talking about hierarchy in sense of greater and lesser and somebody lording it over us. No. We are simply people who have wedded the personal self with the impersonal self, the lower self with the higher, and we've become whole and complete within that. And so we can lay aside the needs of the personal self and serve. Because as long as you're involved in your own little personal self, your mini-me and all of its little petty concerns, you're not available, really, to be of much use in terms of the bigger picture. So it's important that we become increasingly detached from our personal dramas, from the need to take care of ourselves, so to speak, and we become more mature in being here to be of greater service to a bigger picture. We're leaping from the pond of the mini-me into the ocean of divine consciousness. And we each have a function within that. We each have a role to play. But overall, it's one of unification. And so, within humanity, the consensus of the conscious light workers has tipped the scale. Long ago, we activated the 144 so-called thousand light workers. A long time ago, people the world over are awakening, and they're showing greater and greater love and light every day. Oh, you don't see it on the evening news, because that's not what they show you on the news. So you have to look in a different way from a higher level to see what's really going on. So our task is to bring the energy of harmony and unification into every arena of conflict. And today, I think you will have no problem in identifying the various areas of conflict. What you're seeing really is a warring between different ideologies, different cultural mindsets, different points of view. And if you talk to each person that represents that particular point of view, I think you will be able to identify that they're very sincere, and that's really how they see things, and from their point of view, they're right. But then you can look at another person, listen to their story, maybe completely the opposite. But if you just listen, you will understand that they're completely right, based on how they're looking, the lens and the ideologies, and whatever it is that has drawn them to that perspective. They're right. So nobody is wrong in any of this. There's no againstness that needs to be waged. There's no attack. There can be no unification when you're, you know, facing each other with loaded bazookas. So the point is that we have to be reconcilers, not add to the conflict, not develop polarized points of view, but to be the mediators through which we can each understand each other and come to appreciate and respect more than tolerate. Just be able to allow each person to do what they need to do in the way they need to do it, as long as it's not bringing harm to another person. There's room on this planet for everything. And if we work together in a spirit of unity and respect for the diversity, we will find that we will enjoy the planet very much because of its diversity. Because it's so interesting. Think, just imagine, how boring this planet would be if everybody had the same religion. Right? if everybody had the same political party, right? If everybody had the same outlook on life, I think that would be completely boring. What would you talk about? How could you enjoy diversity if everything is just the same? So when we speak about God consciousness, where we see everything as God, that doesn't mean everything looks exactly the same. There's still the different ways of appreciating. You know, the masters that I've had the privilege of meeting, they're very unique. The only time you see people that are kind of predictable are amongst the unawakened masses. They all tend to watch the same programs, watch the same news channels, more or less, eat the same kinds of foods, have the same kind of sports and habits and pastimes. You don't see a whole lot of uniqueness. But the more the soul awakens, the more unique you see each person becomes. And so we don't want to homogenize everything into an amorphous mass, because it affords no contrast, and it's only through contrasting energies that we can generate a new creative energy in the world. And this creative energy that we're going to be co-creating together, and we are at this time, is one of the will to good. Excuse me, I have a little trouble in my throat tonight. So we're working together to see how we can all win-win in this situation, how we can appreciate the different points of view and the different ways we approach life, the different lifestyles we choose. There's not one lifestyle, no more than there's one size, that really fits all. And so our first duty, I believe, is to truly be authentic yourself. To be yourself, whatever that self is, honor it enough and yourself enough to really be that without embarrassment, without having to explain why. Just be yourself. Because when you're allowing yourself to be, you're going to be allowing other people the same thing. They're going to also feel freed within themselves. And like they're not walking on eggs every time they come into your aura or trying to match up to your standards. Nobody should feel like they have to match up to anybody's standards, not even their own. So to come from a place of real genuine authenticity and the allowing of your own nature to come forward and express is one of the most important things for us all to do. Because when we reconcile that self-critical, self-judgmental part of ourselves and make it okay to be ourselves, then you see we have spread it and we have imported and we brought down to the physical plane the very thing that we all need to reconcile and bring unity and harmony on our planet. So unification is the way to reconcile the pairs of opposites. But we need the pairs of opposites in order to find that point of unity, which is the blending of both of them. So wherever we find ourselves, we are to serve in reconciling differences, promoting mutual interests, so that there is a, you know, nobody feels like they've not been heard or respected or addressed. That's why we're moving from the battlefield into the, what could we call it, the sharing circle, where we share our points of view in a safe space with each other. And each person is heard, and we all have an input into the final product that we want to manifest collectively. Because bottom line, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants the basic things in life that give us a sense of having our needs met, having some measure of security in how we can survive physically. But more than anything, we need the sense of love and joining and community that only dialogue and communication can establish. We can't get that on the internet. We can't get that in two-line texts. We can't get that in any remote way. We have to put down the media and talk. And if, God forbid, but if the grid should ever go down to where we don't have our electricity and our little devices, we're going to be forced by our circumstances to talk to each other, to cooperate with each other, to talk to each other. And that's why sometimes these so-called catastrophes that befall us are sometimes the best thing for us. Because then we lose sight of our little petty, our little pity-pot complaints, and we really begin to exercise that superhero within us. And we become selfless. And we begin to care more for the well-being of other people than we do ourselves. And then that great, great fire of self-sacrifice comes forward that is the characteristic of every great one. So it's important to realize that even in the catastrophes that we're facing now with these onslaught of one after another earth events of earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and now these storms that keep lining up and hurricanes, all of that, it causes us to think beyond our small little daily habits. And something great has burst out of that. That could not come about in any other way. And so if you look at things that you have to go through in that light, it's like, wow, it was sure painful and it was awful, but wow, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of that part that rose up and put its own life aside to save the life of another, to help another person. To be there in the midst of my own loss and pain and adversity, to be there for someone else, to be there and show up in a bigger picture. So that's part of how and what we're called forward at this time to participate in. The problem in front of you is not a problem. It's actually your way home to that self that you've been looking for all the time. But that self is never birthed in comfort. It's never birthed in predictability. It's never birthed in complacency. It's never birthed in daily humdrum, mundane habits that go on year after year, life after life. No. This is a lifetime that not a single one of us can sit on the sidelines. Not a single one of us has the luxury of a negative thought. Not a single one of us has the luxury of sitting and being a bystander. Oh no. We are called forward as light workers to do battle, first of all, with our own negativity, our own self that rises up and fights against that greater self that would like to occupy and host through us the kingdom of heaven. That would like to import God's love into this earth. That would like to import the healing, anointing of that which is our innate wholeness. You know, glory is seeking outlets. Inlets into this world. And where else is that glory going to come through but the sons and daughters of God, which is you and me, and every soul? We're the sole mechanism through which the love of God comes into tangible manifestation on planet Earth. So in that sense, in that context, we are all a group avatar. We are all a group messiah. We are all the Yom Shaddai, the people of God. We are all the collective body of Christ, the collective body of Buddha, whatever name, the collective body of Vishnu, Krishna, the Avatar. You know, call it whatever you want. It's the same thing. It's love, and it's wisdom, and it's intelligent activity. And it is that which creates right human relations and goodwill amongst all people. So I hope that gives a broader understanding as to why it's so important that we wake up inside our levels and call ourselves forward into our better selves. Every day, challenge yourself to be the best you can be. Every day, set that intention that this day I am not going to have a single critical thought about myself or anyone else. And the minute you feel that critical spirit rising up in you, stop it instantly and place the light with it, dissolve it. You have 60 seconds before it locks into karma. 60 seconds that you can say deflect or just shut up. And just redirect that mind, that mouth, that attention into a positive expression. So last night I watched on Global Spirit, which is one of my favorite television shows, a music festival, which I think is held annually, I'm not sure about that, in Fez, Morocco. And in Fez, Morocco, they have achieved just this unification and harmonious coexistence that I've been speaking about. Fez, Morocco has a music festival where Christians and Buddhists and people from Ireland and England and America and jazz musicians and all kinds of people from the Middle East and the different Muslim and Christian and Jewish and Molly, I can't think of any group that was omitted, where they all come together and they share music. I've watched this program about 3 times now, and each time I enjoy it as if I had never seen it again, but also I see a deeper level. And in Fez, Morocco, they have lived and coexisted for thousands, or at least hundreds of years, the Jew, the Muslim, the Christian, every single faith coexists in that community and is respected and honored. And that's the ideal, you see. And, of course, music is the universal language. And anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that there are pockets of this everywhere. Now, here in Los Angeles, California, we have been, for many years, gradually moving into this mutual place of understanding and respect and harmonious coexistence. In fact, if you drive through Los Angeles, which is a ginormous city, you will find little mini-nations everywhere, little neighborhoods that are completely Hispanic or completely Middle Eastern or completely Korean, or completely Russian, or completely Japanese, completely Hindu. You'll find all of these little groups. And by and large, there's harmony, you know? There's not a great deal of interaction, I think, with a lot of these groups. But I believe that there will be more and more of that coming forward. We've pretty much solved the gang situation, which was very, very bad in the 80s. But now, you see, there's more and more people that are mediating between the groups. There are light workers that are working with the different groups and helping them to resolve their differences and come into cooperation and come into mutual coexistence. Because all of this killing and stuff and gang stuff is just simply fear. People are afraid. And so there's more and more healing taking place everywhere you look. And so here in Los Angeles, we also have a lot of meditators, spiritual centers, ashrams, communities of light workers. And so we can say there is a Maharishi effect, that's what it's been called, that's taking place here. So Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who many of you have received TM training from, was the first one in the 60s to bring meditation to the United States and make it available to the common people. And the follow-up studies were done, and the statistics were tabulated and recorded, that how even a small percentage of meditators in an area reduced crime, suicides, homicides, and such. You could see the statistics before and after. It was amazing. But it was exactly what the very skeptical Western mind had to see to convince it of the value of meditation. And I think a good example is that only a small amount of yeast is necessary to cause the loaf of bread to rise. And so we are like those agents that causes the collective consciousness to rise wherever we happen to be parked. And so, what is the purpose of all of this? Well, we are that one divine self, enjoying versatility, creative expression, experiencing ever more intricate plays of consciousness, and ever-expanding bliss of being. There is a joy of being that inhabits a God-realized person. They don't just live. They become life itself. And every moment is enjoyed. Every moment is... There's a delight in the sheer sense of beingness. B-E-N-E-S-S. Beingness. You only see that term used with reference to enlightened people. But they enjoy beingness. They enjoy life. And that more abundantly. So our Earth offers such a versatile repertoire, theater, that we embodiments of the Supreme and the Supreme Divine Love have the opportunity to enact every possible role. And we do. Before our final exit from Earth's repertoire theater, we will have enacted every possible role and character. We will have worn every body of every culture, every skin tone, every state of consciousness, every depiction of character. We will have done it all. I love the definition that John Roger has given of God. John Roger has been quoted to say, God is the soul that has had all experiences. So when you look at it that way, you don't criticize yourself for whatever your thing is in this lifetime, because you're meant to go through whatever it is you're going through as part of your experience. This is the only planet, according to Sai Baba, by which we can return directly to God. Not that we've ever really lost God in highest truth, so I'm quoting him. But this is the springboard, and the only springboard by which you can spring back to source, because only here are all seven levels of life represented at the same time. That's pretty amazing. Only here can you return directly to source, consciously, according to Sai Baba. And so, this is our opportunity to awaken. But so many light workers are waiting to die to get to heaven. That's not how you get to heaven. That's how you get to Devakan, and then you reincarnate back. But it's not how you get home with a capital H. To return home, you have to go within. It's not outside of yourself. It's not in the clouds. It's not up in the sky. It's not up there somewhere. It's within. And you need to find that entrance point that leads you into the kingdom of heaven within. Every chakra is a portal into one of the dimensional realms. But the portal that leads you home is between your eyes, in the center of your head. That contains a door, which when you are aligned, as you will be if you practice a systematic form of meditation, quieting the mind, turning your attention inward, at some point you will find that that opens inward into a whole other universe. Sometimes people are really surprised. It's like, whoa, the cosmos is inside of me. Because you will. You'll see suns and stars and moons and the vastness of the galaxies within your own, seemingly within your own head. Yeah. So the door out is in. The way out is in. And so we have to get down here into this dimension fully, get into our bodies, get anchored to the earth, and live in the moment to the very best of our ability, paying attention to where you are here and now, what you're doing right now, and put all of your love and focus into whatever that is. And as you consistently do that, offering the fruits of your actions to the divine as your love made manifest, you find that you're beginning to walk in the path of true fulfillment. And life kind of takes care of itself. You don't have the same problems anymore because you're not living as a problem. A person who's living as a problem is a person who's not taking responsibility for themselves. They're trying to find somebody to blame in their outer world, in their family, in their past, in their experiences. But really, the problem is how they have interpreted that past, the story that they have built around the past. The situation is never the problem. It's the story we have invented about that. That's the problem. When you realize that you've created, allowed, promoted, invited, and participated in the very thing that has brought the situation to bear in your present life, and you take full responsibility for it, you step free. You step free. As Sai Baba says, past is past. From this moment on, live for God. From this moment on, do everything in God's name. From this moment on, make a good choice. As you make those good choices, you begin to develop self-confidence and self-esteem and self-trust. And then you begin to find that the world around you reflects that to you. But it's all a reaction to the energy you're putting forth. Everything is a reflection of your state of consciousness. Everything. And so we're never a victim of the world we see, for we have invented the world we see. So each planet in our solar system is that school of consciousness where the soul focuses on a particular area of learning and experience. But nowhere else in our solar system, at least, will one find such diversity of consciousness and people. So Earth is the school of self-mastery. It's only by participating in life full on, making mistakes, learning from the mistakes, doing better next time, tripping and falling and getting up and dusting yourself off and keep going. It's only from those experiences that one can master the Course and master the Self. So pay attention, particularly now, because we're in active transition mode right now into the higher frequencies that we call the Golden Age, that everybody inhabits a world of their own making. No two people inhabit the same world, because no two people have had identical experiences in their past lives and their gazillions of lives that they've lived. That's why we're each unique as a soul. And what you focus upon, you come into resonant agreement with. And whatever you resonate with in vibration, that manifests as your world. It manifests into your world. I thought it was amazing how quickly. Day before yesterday, I was doing some research in a treatise on cosmic fire on the origin of the reptilian race. That very day, a rattlesnake came into our garage. Isn't that interesting? That very day. And by the way, if you're interested in knowing the origin of the reptilian race, that, by the way, we're all part of, check out A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, one of the Alice Bailey books. I think you'll find it interesting. But just saying, just that little focus manifested as a rattlesnake. Now, if I'd been in India, it would have been a cobra. And I personally am not afraid of snakes. But just saying, that quickly, the snake manifested. So you have to be very careful. The worldview that you are resonating with right now, very careful. Because you will draw into that picture of reality. And I think it's rather obvious that there are people today that are living in Armageddon. There are people that are living in hell, in Bardo's. And there are people living in the kingdom of heaven now. There are people that are living in the new earth, in the golden age right now. What makes the difference? Your point of focus. That's all. Your point of focus. That's the only thing that makes the difference. Oh, well, you could say, yeah, each person is experiencing their karma, you know, what they have created, allowed, promoted, participated in, resonated with, come into agreement with, etc. Yeah, you could say that. But still, when you boil it down, it all comes to a matter of focus. And energy and consciousness states. And so the focus determines the energy, determines the vibration, it determines the worldview, it determines what you affinitize into your worldview. And ultimately, when the shift, if it is as dramatic as some of us may think it might be, it's going to depend on where you go. You know, where is your consciousness going to be placed? Good question, huh? So a suggestion might be not to get too invested in what's going on in the world right now. You can look at the headlines. You know, I watch the crawl, you know, the breaking news that runs across the bottom of the screen. But I always keep the talking heads on mute. So I'm not interested in hearing people vent their opinions. I just want to see where to send the light. And that way you don't get drawn into the vocal patterning, the vibrations of those states of consciousness, most of which are totally asleep, or they're in degrees of againstness and attack, or the poor people are just, you know, they're having to read the teleprompter, and it's their job. But, you know, what I'm saying is that our business is to be reconcilers, not to join sides against anyone or anything. And so the things that clear, where are they going to clear? They have to clear through your light field. That's how you escort the energies out. They can't be just presto change-o, zapped into non-existence. Just like creation has to come down through a portal, an entry, a doorway into a human consciousness, the same thing goes with negativity. It has to pass through you, but not to you. It passes to you, and you get the karmic result of it if you latch on to it with an attitude, with an againstness. Otherwise, you could just let it pass right through you, give it to the Lord, and keep going. Not mine. Let it vent through you. Pray it out. Put the light with it. Put the violet flame with it. Transmute it. But don't latch on. Don't take it personally. Don't make a big cause out of it. You know, people that are sound asleep having a bad dream are nasty suckers. Nasty. You know, they're having a bad dream. You expect them to be pleasant. They're in hell. You expect them to act nicely. They're suffering. Hello? So we come as reconcilers. We come as emissaries of the Holy Spirit, emissaries of peace, emissaries of healing, emissaries of reconciliation, harmonization, unification, bridges. And you can't get down into the swamp without getting mud all over you and slime. So you have to keep cleaning yourself up. You have to use the light and ask that any negative energies that you have picked up be transmuted and cleared through grace. That's how you walk with the Christ, walk with the Lord through grace. He does the work, you don't. But he needs your body, your hands, your feet, your heart, your loving, your presence to do this greater work. Must be done through human hands and feet, through human participation. So clear yourself. You know when you're in a snarky mood that you've picked up something negative because your nature is not snarky. When you get irritated, when you get snappish, you've picked up some gunk. Take a deep breath. Father, Mother, God, I ask for the clearance. I ask that anything I picked up that doesn't serve my highest good, any negativity, any karma, that it be transmuted through grace. And take a deep breath and let it go. Let it go. Chant your mantra. Chant your initiatory tone. Because that also will gobble up that negative energy like little Pac-Man. So you have to practice spiritual ecology all the time. Clear your car, clear your rooms, clear your house, clear your body, clear your mind. The light of the Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit, the violet flame, the grace of God, the love of God, whatever. And so you keep yourself clear and clean. And you practice every day your spiritual practice, whatever it is. Don't neglect that, because without that, you don't have much gas in your tank. You get real drained when you're running on your personal energies and not the divine. So the high-octane gas that you need to keep yourself really going, the petrol you need, is the name of God, is devotion to the Lord, is consecration of your heart to serving, to being truly useful. You know, that's the prayer. Lord, may I be truly useful to my fellow man. May I be that instrument to heal and reconcile and love and harmonize. May I be the peace walker, the peacemaker. And that's our function here. That's our duty. That's our dharma. And we work as groups. We work in groups. We're never alone. We couldn't do any of this by ourselves. We are the new group of world servers, collective light workers. In all levels and degrees of awakening, because every level is needed. You don't wait until you got all your ducks lined up before you serve. No. Then, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And we have to be also workers that are able to go into the trenches. We have to go wherever people are. The brothels and the bars and the cocaine houses and whatever. We've got to go where people are hurting and help them as best we can. That is the work of the Christ. That's the work of Lord Maitreya. That's the work of the Brothers and Sisters of Light. That's the work of the Ashtar Command, those of you that are ground-based crew. That's it. That's the gig. That's what we're here to do. And so I hope this has given some nice tips on where to focus your life and your energies. Usually we don't have to look very far. We can usually find plenty of people who we need to love and forgive right in our immediate presence, right in our household. But don't stop there. Live beyond your little house and your family and begin to see the whole planet as your house. And every single person on the planet has their kith and kindred. Everybody's family. And we all have one Creator, one Father, Mother, God that breathed the life into each one of us and made us a living soul. So I trust this has been helpful. Let's raise our hands and send the light to every man, woman, and child on the planet that right now is combating hurricanes and some flooding or fires or volcanic eruptions. There's so many people that are physically just trying to hang in there. And so we send them our love, our strength. We stand shoulder to shoulder with all the sons and daughters of God. We bless them. We pray strength over them and health and provision. But most of all, that they awaken and realize the pure and perfect and divine incarnation that they truly are. Underneath all those levels of self-definition and things that we've bought into and ascribed to ourselves, all the conditioning, underneath all of that is an immaculate, pure soul that has never left the heart of God. Remain still as originally created by God in perfect holiness and peace, perfect innocence. We remain as God created us, forever one with God and forever one with each other. And so we bless this planet. We bless all the kingdoms of nature. We bless everyone that is crying out for help. We pray grace and a touch of love from the Almighty Supreme and all the beautiful beings that co-share this planet and all these dimensions around the planet, that they could touch to each soul in a way that that soul understands that is God's love. And may hearts begin to open and may all be blessed. And we go out chanting. Let's do three on I Hughes. Deep breath. Anna, you. blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.